The world around us is changing rapidly, and your job as a fundraiser or nonprofit marketer is evolving with it. We're Pursuant. We're built by fundraisers for fundraisers, and we've been in your shoes. So we want to bring you tips and tools that you can use to meet you where you are in your current reality and help you go beyond to where you really want to go. You're tuned in to a Pursuant listening experience.
Welcome, welcome back to another episode of the Go Beyond podcast, continuing our coverage on how to fundraise in these uncertain times with COVID-19. In this special episode, we sat down with Amy Perozzolo, who is the head of marketing at Fidelity Charitable. We talked about donor advice funds and how donor advice funds are so well set up for uncertain times when it comes to fundraising. I hope you enjoy the episode.
Hello, hello, podcast listeners. This is Taylor Shanklin back with another special episode of the Go Beyond podcast, addressing issues today that relate to the current uncertain times that we're living in. I'm happy to invite Amy Perozzolo, who is the head of marketing at Fidelity Charitable. How are you doing today, Amy?
I am great, Taylor. Thanks for having me on your podcast series.
Sure thing. It's great to have you here. So why don't you give us a little bit of background about yourself and the work that you do at Fidelity Charitable and donor advice funds and what those are?
Yeah. So donor advice funds are like a separate investment account for your charitable giving. I often refer to them as it's a mini foundation of sorts without all the administrative burden. The money is given irrevocably to charity, and as a result, the donor is eligible to take an immediate tax deduction. Then, as the name implies, while the money has been irrevocably given to the donor advice fund provider, you become the advisor on that account, and you tell the sponsor how you want the money invested and which money or which charities you want the money granted out to. So it's a really simple, streamlined way to give and helps donors really kind of amplify their impact.
I love that. So, you know, with everything happening in our world right now with the coronavirus and this, you know, nonprofits are feeling very uncertain is what I'm hearing on the street. With all that happening, let's talk about how donor advice funds are supporting our philanthropic community and why you think more than ever it's really important to ensure that we are messaging to our DAF donors.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I will tell you, I am hearing the exact same thing. We are really at Fidelity Charitable gearing up and trying to make sure that all the checks that we are sending out the door to nonprofits that they're receiving in this difficult time when everybody is working remotely, because it's so critical to get this money that donors have in their account out to the charities that they are requesting. When I think about donor advised funds, there really are kind of three benefits to them, and then I'll get to your specific question. First is donor advised funds really enable donors to give more, and I mentioned that earlier, and that's because you can give appreciated securities really easily and because of this tax-free investment growth. I would also say that because the account makes it so easy, we have 2/3 of our donors tell us year over year that they're consistently giving more than they would have had they not had this account. So I think one of the big benefits is it enables donors to give more. But I think when I think about today's, what's going on in today's world, the other benefits of donor advised funds is that they really help sustain giving during the times of economic uncertainty. And they really provide a source of money that's at the ready to support natural disasters or crises, such as this COVID-19 crisis. And, you know, I'll share just a couple of quick facts of what I mean about that. When I look back to like December of 2018, you know, one of the worst stock markets we had since the Great Depression, right? And contributions coming into Fidelity Charitable were down 9% that year. Yet grants going out the door from our donors increased 17%. So that really just goes to show you that in a time just like we're in today, where the markets are going up, down, and people are really uncertain, this is a source of ready reserves that people can tap into to really sustain nonprofits. Same with Hurricane Dorian. Within 2 weeks, we sent out $9 million 3,000 grants to 375 nonprofits really, really quickly. And we're seeing the same thing happen right now with COVID-19. Year-to-date, Fidelity Charitable has already granted out about $1.5 billion. But just in the last 10 days since we've been tracking it, we've sent out over $30 million specifically earmarked for COVID-19 on behalf of our donors. And so again, I think all of those things really talk to the power of donor advised funds in the times that we're in right now as a result of this COVID-19, with not only the additional needs to support COVID-19 relief, but just the economic uncertainty and the challenges that nonprofits are faced. This creates just donor advised funds create a great source of funds and philanthropic capital that's available.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that. That they're set up perfectly for times of great need like this. And I think that's interesting that you shared, and I hadn't thought about it that way, that they actually help donors give more. And they are very, very influential and powerful in getting funds out in these, you know, crises and disasters. So thank you for bringing that up, because that might be something that people aren't necessarily fully aware of. And I think as nonprofit leaders and fundraisers right now are feeling very scared and many of them feeling very frozen, I'm glad that you mentioned that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about, Amy, you have some tips and some best practices on how nonprofits can incorporate donor advised funds into their fundraising strategy. Can we talk about that today in the context of our current reality with COVID-19?
Yes, absolutely. And before I jump into those tips, which I think really are important for the nonprofits, the one thing I want some of your nonprofit colleagues to know is that we are all over trying to provide guidance to our donors. And we're thinking about it in three key areas. One is to support kind of medical needs and community safety. The second is to really continue to protect vulnerable populations. And the third is really to sustain the nonprofit sector. And we just had a webinar on Monday of this week with the CEO of the CDC Foundation as part of helping people understand what the medical need is. And we're building out kind of content and information for our donors to help donors think about this really unique time that we're in across all three of those areas. And so we're really kind of building out that part of our website. So we really are trying to help donors think about this money that they have in their account and how to best deploy it in these times. But if I think about for nonprofits who are trying to reach these donors, which is a question I get all the time, there really are six best practices that I encourage nonprofits to think about. And I'm actually going to reverse the order of those that I normally speak about, given the times that we're in. So the first one I'm going to start with is help us, the DAF providers, get you the money fast. And that really involves two things. One is many nonprofits don't understand how they show up in our website. So when a donor goes to make a grant from their donor advised fund account from Fidelity Charitable, for example, the drop-down menu of charities they can pick from is a monthly fee that we're getting from the IRS. So the first thing I tell nonprofits is make sure that how you are communicating your name to donors is how you're showing up in the IRS. So, you know, oftentimes people, how they file with the IRS, how the nonprofits file their 990 is different than the maybe name they're using for their marketing materials. And you want to make sure those two things are in sync, because that's how your name for your nonprofit will be showing up to our donors in the grant donation process. So the first is make sure your name is consistent with your marketing materials, with how you're submitting it to the IRS, because that's how we're getting in. The second is we offer nonprofits electronic funds transfer. And this is a really smart way for nonprofits to get their money much faster from us versus getting a check. And whether you're getting a check from us or whether you're getting an electronic funds transfer, the information that we're giving you is the same. But particularly at this time, when so many of us are kind of, you know, working from home, this is really, really critical. And so we're actually super worried about this. And we're actually calling many of our nonprofits that we're sending checks out just to make sure they're getting the check. But think about if they were signed up for electronic funds transfer, how much easier that would be right now and getting the money quickly to the nonprofits. So if you in particular are receiving checks from Fidelity Charitable, you might want to reach out to us and make sure, get yourself signed up for electronic funds transfer so we can get that money to you quicker. And I mentioned kind of the second tip that I offer is make sure that you're recognizing and flagging and tagging donors that are giving to you through a donor advised fund account. Last year, of the 1.5 million grants that we sent out the door, 97% of them contained a donor name and typically the name and the address. And again, that's true whether you're going to receive a paper check from us or an electronic transfer. The information we provide is the same. As long as the donor has given us permission, we will pass that through. 97% of the 1.5 million grants we sent out the door had a donor name and often the donor name and address on it. We're actually looking at right now trying to provide nonprofits the donor email address too. That's an enhancement we're hoping to do in the future. So once you get that information, you really want to make sure you're flagging and tagging those donors and you're acknowledging them. I can't tell you how often we are still getting a thank you note from nonprofits to thank us for the donation, and they really need to be thanking the donor. So you really want to make sure that you know who these donors are and you're thanking them directly. The third tip I offer is you really should be thinking about these donors as your most valuable donors and really putting them at the top of your kind of list of donors to engage. And the reason I say that is if a donor has given you a $50 grant from a donor advised fund account, you really don't know if they have a $5,000 account, a $5 million account, or a $50 million account. What you do know is that they've shown interest in your cause and your organization. And so you really should be reaching out to these donors. Typically, I would say, invite them in for a site visit. Help them understand more about what you do in this short-term crisis that we're in. Let's hope it's a short-term crisis. I would say maybe you want to reach out with a phone call to thank them. Again, spend more time, money, and effort around engaging these donors than you would with most donors because you know they've irrevocably set money aside to give to charity. And there's a great example and video on our website that nonprofits can take a look at. It's a story of Mike Bradley. Mike Bradley is one of our donors. He heard about both Boston Healthcare for the Homeless when he was driving on, I believe it was an NPR story, and he made a small donation to them. They invited him in. He went and toured their facility, really got enthralled and excited about the work they were doing. And as a result, he's a long-term supporter of the Boston Healthcare for the Homeless. And that's just a perfect example of really engaging these donors in the right way and reaching out to them in a more specific way to recognize who they are and engage them. The fourth tip that I typically offer is that there are some specific account features of donor advised funds that you as a nonprofit could actually be encouraging donors to use, believe it or not. About 26% of our grants last year went out the door as an automated grant. What that means is they've set up a reoccurring or a pre-scheduled grant. So if you go back to the example I just gave of Mike Bradley and the Boston Healthcare for the Homeless, Mike can actually set up his account to say, I want $50 a month to go out to the Boston Healthcare for the Homeless, or I want a gift of $500 every year to go to the Boston Healthcare for the Homeless, right? And so by setting up that reoccurring grant, you're encouraging that donor to make their support for you consistent.
Hey there, if you're enjoying this episode, feel free to head over to pursuant.com/podcast resources to grab our latest free fundraising resources. We update the page weekly, so be sure to check back regularly to get free fundraising ebooks, webinars, and other resources designed with fundraisers like you in mind.
The next thing I would say is many folks don't understand that donors, we really encourage and try to get donors to list a successor on their account. This could be a spouse, a son, a daughter, but it also could be a nonprofit. And one of the nonprofits I work with actually put this in their newsletter. They are a religious-based nonprofit, and they said in their newsletter, "We prayerfully request that you consider our organization, listing our organization as the successor on your donor advised fund account." And within a week of that newsletter going out, the contact that I have there said to me, she said, "It worked." She said, "I had a woman call me and said, I don't have any children to leave this account to. I'm a regular supporter of yours. And when I die, I want the rest of my money in this account to go to your organization." So again, you can really encourage donors to set reoccurring grants in their account and also name you as the beneficiary or the successor of that account.
Well, I love that example and just wanted to recap on a couple of things real quick is just the importance of that stewardship, right? And I love your story of her, you know, reaching out and saying, "Hey, I don't have any children. I'd like to, you know, set this up in that way." And you made a couple of other points that I think really lean into stewardship, and that's so important right now. So thank you for sharing those ideas. Let's hear what number five is.
Yeah, you're so welcome. And it actually leads really nicely to number five. I think many nonprofits are almost afraid or feel like it's a competition to mention donor advised funds. But I would say you really want to be putting donor advised funds in all of your marketing materials and reminding people that they can give to you in that way. And that takes a couple of different forms, right? One was the example I just shared on saying we request that you consider making us, once you know you're talking to a donor advised fund donor, requesting that they make you the successor on their account. But the other is just in all of your marketing outreach materials, reminding people that they can give via credit card, via check, or PayPal, and donor advised fund. I can't tell you how many times I go to the checkout page of websites for nonprofits, and they list all kinds of ways that you can grant to them, but they don't mention if you have a donor advised fund account, that's another form of payment or a way that you can donate to us. And guess what? If I have a donor advised fund account, I might have been planning to give you $50, but if you remind me to use that account, I may say, "Oh yeah, I've got that money set aside. I can actually give more than $50. I can give $500. So I think it's really important to remind people that you accept this is one of the ways that they can use their donor advised fund account. Going hand in glove with that, part of this is we have set up with several other national donor advised fund providers this thing called DAF Direct. And you can go to DAF Direct, D-A-F Direct, .org and find more information. But what this is it's a kind of automated widget or link that you can put on your website, either at that checkout page or in your marketing emails. And what it does with one click of a button, it will take you to the login account. And let's say, for example, I, Amy Peroslow, want to give to Freedom United. That's an organization I support. It would take me to my login at my Fidelity Charitable account. Once I log in and I go to the grant workflow, it automatically populates the name and tax ID number of Freedom United in that grant. So I, as the donor, no longer have to say, "Oh, was it Freedom United or was it freedomunited.org? Like, what was the exact name and what was the tax ID number?" It automatically populates that for the donor in one click of a link once you're behind the login. And that again makes it a really streamlined, easy experience for the donors trying to give to your organization to use their DAF account.
That's amazing. So many great tips and very practical things that people can be doing and taking advantage of right now, you know? So let's talk a little bit about integrating into your marketing some of these tips. You know, how can we, Amy, I think, express and show empathy right now in our marketing and in the outreach that, you know, the donor advice funds are doing, the nonprofits who are receiving funds from the donor advice funds? What are your recommendations there?
Yeah, so I've been thinking a lot about this as, you know, we think about the guidance we're trying to provide to our donors. Certainly many are looking for how do I specifically help for the COVID-19 relief, which is important, but we also know it's super, super important to maintain their support for the nonprofits and the causes they were already giving to. And so I think when I think about it, I think about it in a couple different buckets. One is if your organization is involved in direct relief for COVID-19, helping donors understand how what you do is related to that or helping that cause, right? If your work is not directly related to COVID-19, certainly many of the vulnerable populations that nonprofits support and help on a day in and day out basis are more vulnerable than ever before. If you think about homelessness, food insecurity, mental health, all of those things, people that are challenged with those issues are going to be even more challenged as a result of being laid off or other things going on right now. And then the other bucket I think about is, you know, perhaps you're an organization that provides reading support to children and the children aren't in schools right now. So maybe your work has been paused, but reinforcing with your donors how that work, once we get past this crisis and the children get back to school, you know, they say that children lose almost a grade level or two of reading in the summer, right? Well, think about what they've been through now. If they're off for several months and trying to do online learning, you know, just taking that example, those reading tutors at school are going to be ever more important, right? And so that's just an example of really thinking about whether you're directly involved in COVID relief or the work you're doing is more important than ever before because of the vulnerable populations you support. Or if your work has been paused, how more important it's going to be when we all kind of get back to normal again. I think helping paint that picture for your donors and how you're helping and the importance of what your organization is doing is really, really critical. And then I would say just, you know, it's always important to remind donors, it's not just about giving money. Certainly many nonprofits right now are facing challenges with how to have volunteers continue to help through this time. Maybe the volunteers that normally would be doing something for you, you can use them in a different way. And being really clear about volunteer opportunities, as well as maybe there's some additional advocacy opportunities. So I think not only showcasing what your organization is doing, why it's important, but the different ways they can help.
Yeah, absolutely. And you made some good points. I mean, I think we all have to lean into each other right now as people and in our communities. There are so many of us that, as you said, are trying to figure out how to be working parents also while homeschooling our children right now. And it is tough. And, you know, just I think leaning in with empathy, realizing that we're all going through these things together is important. So, Amy, if people want to find out more about how they can get in touch with Fidelity Charitable, perhaps how you guys can help their organization right now, do you have any special resources up that you would want to point people to?
Yeah, thanks for asking that question. I would say two resources. One is if you just go to fidelitycharitable.org, over on the right-hand side, you will see a button that is for nonprofits. We have a whole page just for nonprofits to help them understand some of these tips and best practices and things that I mentioned. So certainly that's one place. And then also on our website, front and center on the homepage, is all of the guidance that we are currently listing and sharing with our donors. And as I mentioned, that is changing daily because we really are trying to provide donors with the best information we can to continue to drive support, not only just for COVID-19 relief, but again, to sustain all nonprofits.
Awesome. And we'll definitely point to those links in our show notes when we post up the podcast. So thank you for sharing those. Amy, it's been a great pleasure. I thank you. Thank you. Everything that we can share right now, we want to help spread the word and just let our organizations that we work with and partner with and those who listen to this podcast know that we are here for you and doing everything we can to put the best information out there to help answer your questions right now in these uncertain times. So, Amy, thank you so much for spending the time to talk to us about donor advised funds, how they are such a benefit in these specific times of needs. I really appreciate all of your insight and your recommendations that you shared with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
All right, folks, we are continuing this series on the coronavirus and fundraising in the era of this global pandemic. So continue to stay tuned. We're going to keep posting episodes like this. Until next time, take care.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for tuning in with us. Be sure to check out all of the latest and greatest Pursuant resources at Pursuant.com or drop us a line at info@Pursuant.com.